The opening music today is by Amber, and she's going to be doing this live. It's the name is Keep Smiling by Kerubia.
If you were tired when you first got on, that woke you up. Good morning and welcome to Prairie Unitarian Universalist Society. My name is Barbara Park and my pronouns are she, her, hers. I'm a member of the program and ministerial committees, and in better times, I'm the choir director. Prairie aspires to be both an open-hearted and open-minded congregation. We strive to be welcoming to all, though we recognize that we all have biases that limit our understanding of how others may perceive us. We stumble in our efforts, but we commit to keep trying to grow our ability to love people of every ethnic and religious background, whatever your color, sexual orientation, gender identity, family structure, age, or abilities. Since we don't have our name tags on, we'd like to invite you to add your pronouns to your name on Zoom. Introducing yourself with your pronouns is a great way to challenge the norm that these should be assumed and to create space for everyone, no matter how they identify. Click on your picture and press on the three dots that are in the upper right-hand corner and click on rename and then add your pronouns. We have a few announcements. See the emailed order of service for additional events. Our shared offering is with the Catalyst Project, a community of up to four single moms and their kids who are experiencing homelessness. In partnership with founders Susan and Ann Donahue, the families gain access to permanent housing and other support services while living community style in a house on Madison's east side. There is a link to donate online on the right, top right side of the Prairie website. Our Sunday service on December 5th will be virtual. John Gernand will present Working with Families and Mental Illness. So our opening music this morning is in the Teal Book, 1024, Building Bridges. And the lyrics will be shown in the chat so you can sing along at home.
Mm-hmm. Building bridges between our divisions, I reach out to you, will you reach out to me? With all of our voices and all of our visions, sisters, we can make such sweet harmony. Building bridges between our divisions, I reach out to you, will you reach out to me? With all of our voices and all of our visions, sisters, we can make such sweet harmony.
Building bridges between our divisions, I reach out to you, will you reach out to me?
With all of our voices and all of our visions,
sisters, we can make such sweet harmony.
Sisters, we can make such sweet harmony.
Building bridges between our divisions,
with all of our voices
and all of our visions,
with all of our voices and all of our visions, sisters, we can make such sweet harmony.
Building bridges between our divisions,
I reach out to you, will you reach out to me?
With all of our voices and all of our visions,
sisters, we can make such sweet harmony.
Building bridges between our divisions,
I reach out to you, will you reach out to me?
With all of our voices and all of our visions,
sisters, we can make such sweet harmony.
Sisters, we can make such sweet harmony.
Sisters, we can make such sisters, we can make such sweet harmony.
Sisters, we can make such sweet harmony. Sisters, we can make such sweet harmony. Sisters, we can make such sweet harmony.
Sisters, we can make such sweet harmony. Sisters, we can make such sweet harmony.
Hey.
Woo! Air five.
Yeah.
Well, did you all get that hand motion? I didn't. Our chalice lighting today is Blessed is the Fire That Burns Deep in the Soul by Eric Heller Wagner, read by Eileen Nettleton.
That we're connected again now. I hope that things are working. Blessed is that burns deep in the soul. Our community.
It's not coming through, Eileen. I'll go ahead and read that because Eileen's connection is failing us. Blessed is the fire that burns deep in the soul. It is the flame of the human spirit, touched into being by the mystery of life. It is the fire of reason, the fire of compassion, the fire of community, the fire of justice, the fire of faith. It is the fire of love, burning deep in the human heart, the divine glow in every life. We'll now have a moment of silent meditation. This is a video that introduces the UUSC, the Unitarian Universalist Service Committee.
These last months have highlighted the need for urgent, deep, and lasting systemic change. At UUSC, we believe that the transformational solutions we need, solutions that fundamentally shift us toward a world that prioritizes human rights, thriving communities, and a healthy planet, that these solutions come from grassroots leaders and communities most impacted by injustice. This belief is at the heart of UUSC's work. It fuels our partnership model in which we strive to listen deeply, follow the lead, collaborate with, and resource community organizations on the front lines of advancing change. I'd like to invite you to be part of advancing that change by getting to know some of these partners and joining us for this year's Guest at Your Table. UUSC's longtime annual program and our most significant source of financial support from congregations. Recognizing the enormity of today's human rights challenges and the importance of continuing the momentum for social change, our Guest at Your Table theme for this fall through spring 2022 is Now is the Time for Courageous Change. Through the stories our featured guests will share, with worship resources, religious education materials, and more, I invite you and your congregation to learn about our partners' priorities and visions for the future. With the goal of supporting this work, joining these partners in solidarity, and together with UUSC, making strides toward a world transformed by justice. Because it's plain that now is the time for transformational, comprehensive, justice-seeking, grassroots-led, courageous change. I hope you will join us.
We have four short videos of this year's stories of hope. And hopefully, if Eileen is connected, she will read introductions to each story.
I think I'm connected now. Do I go? All right, thank you. Every year during the Unitarian Universalist Service Committee's Guest at Your Table program, we have the chance to learn about four people connected to UUSC partner organizations, the guests at Your Table. The program is a chance to learn about critical human rights issues around the world through stories of people who are deeply connected to the issues and communities they impact. You can think of the program as offering stories from the grassroots, gathered for Unitarian Universalist congregations, to tie us more closely together with issues on the ground and innovative change makers around the world. It is also a way to learn about the grassroots organizations we are helping through our support of UUSC. We will hear directly from this year's guests through videos they have recorded for us. Today, I have the pleasure of introducing you to our first of our four guests, Alex Fuentes. Alex is the director of Rural Community Workers Alliance, a grassroots organization based in northern Missouri that supports the rights of immigrants and refugee workers in the meat processing industry. The meat industry got a lot of well-deserved negative press early on during the COVID-19 pandemic. For instance, you may remember the disturbing story about executives at an Iowa pork plant who had a betting pool about how many of the workers would contract the disease. These kinds of unjust conditions are something that long predate COVID and that Axel and the Rural Community Workers Alliance have been working to combat for years. Here is a clip of Axel sharing about his work, including the responses to COVID-19.
Rural Community Workers Alliance is a nonprofit organization focused on organizing immigrants and refugees from the food industry, especially from the meat processing plants. What we do is to empower the workers to find the solutions to their needs or concerns that they are facing even in the workplaces or in the communities where they reside. So we empower them and we try to get them organized in order to stand up for their rights and in order to improve their lives in the communities. And we do this through empowerment trainings, leadership trainings, labor right trainings, education, or facilitating the tools that the workers need to address those needs or concerns that are affecting, especially in rural areas where most of the meat processing plants are located, taking advantage of the vulnerability of these communities. They pretty much became these communities to be dependent of them, either because they are the biggest employers or because the economical vitality. Why we do this is because we know that immigrants and refugees are the most vulnerable to suffer injustices or abuses from employers or also in the community. We are really grateful that UUSC has been able to support us, and that's why we are able to continue our organizing efforts to improve quality life of people.
Ethnic minorities of Burma, also known as Myanmar, have long endured violence and discrimination at the hands of the Burmese military, including the 2017 genocide against the Rohingya Muslim minority, which forced more than 700,000 people to flee from their homes into neighboring Bangladesh. Rohingya refugees in Bangladesh still make up the world's largest refugee camp. Our next guest is Mira Daganyapa, a leader from another one of Burma's ethnic minority communities, who is making important connections among ethnic groups to work together for justice and accountability in Burma. Here is a clip of Mira sharing about her firsthand experience with military brutality as a member of the Karen ethnic community, and what she is doing to support the people of Burma continuing to face this kind of brutality today.
My name is Mira Daganyapa, a Karen activist from Karen State, Eastern Burma. And I am directing the US Campaign for Burma Now, an organization that is committing to raise the awareness about the ethnic minorities and religious minorities in Burma, because the Burmese military was still committing human rights abuses on a daily basis. And the biggest drive for our fight for the ethnic minorities right now was inclusivity, because while abuses is differ from one ethnic group to another, we also have ethnic minorities who are fighting against one common enemy, which is the Burmese military junta. And so now, after the coup, we have a lot of information coming out from the country. That is why we're trying to also making sure that the voices of the ethnic minority is not lost. And it is very important that no voices is drawn out, but rather amplified. So that is what we're trying to do.
Around the world, indigenous communities are facing the harshest and earliest impacts of climate change as a result of rising seas, melting permafrost, and other impacts of the climate crisis that they did little to create. Indigenous communities are at risk of having to relocate from their ancestral homelands where they have lived for between hundreds and thousands of years. Next, we will meet the Kiowa Island Community Organization, which is supporting an island in Fiji to become more climate resilient. Here is a clip of another one of the Kiowa Island Community Organization leaders sharing about their important work.
The Kiowa Island Community Organization, or KICO, is the only non-governmental organization established and led by the people of Kiowa Island in the Pacific. In the face of climate change, KICO is helping prepare the people of Kiowa to be more climate resilient and ensure sufficient food is available if people from lower-lying islands are forced to relocate to Kiowa higher ground. KICO is doing this through the strategic plan, community tree planting, and training community members in agro farming, which help yield climate-tolerant crops and cleaner water. Our hope for the future is to improve standards of living and secure a resilient future for the generation to come. We want to thank you so much for your support. Thank you.
Communities in rural Nicaragua are grappling with widespread violence against women, as well as damaging farming practices promoted by multinational companies, which cause ecological damage and take over their traditional ways of life. UUSC's partner, Fundacion Entre Mujeres, I think, is working to combat both, including through a feminist farming cooperative that helps women access their own land and gain financial independence. Christiane Guzman Merlo is one of the directors who shares about her work in this short clip.
La Fundación Entre Mujeres es una organización feminista que trabaja con mujeres campesinas de 21 comunidades en el norte de Nicaragua. Es una organización que nace por el empoderamiento integral de las mujeres campesinas y desarrolla estas estrategias de empoderamiento ideológico, económico y organizativo para transformar esas relaciones de poder entre hombres y mujeres, pero también para que las mujeres campesinas puedan avanzar en su empoderamiento, en su autonomía, en sus condiciones, que transformen esas condiciones en las cuales así han sido asignadas por el mismo sistema machista patriarcal.
So you probably are wondering how we're going to distribute the boxes this year. At least I was wondering that. Oops. I just turned off my thing. Here we go. Anyway, since we're not in person at Prairie, I thought, how are we going to do the boxes? So here's the process, or the contribution process. Ari will be distributing guests at your table boxes, along with the nifty-difty activity kits. There's also a printable guest at your table box linked in the order of service. And you can also donate online at the UUSC website. And now we have time for discussion. Please raise your
hold on, Barb, just a minute. We actually missed one section. Our main presentation of Power, Partnership, and Change was supposed to happen before the four short videos, but that's okay. We can do that now.
I guess I thought that was the power present.
There's more.
Well, let's hear it. There's more. Okay.
Perhaps you have heard or read the parable of the starfish thrower before. The tale comes from Lauren Isley, mid-20th century scientist and philosopher, who recounts meeting a person on a beach after a storm which has washed thousands of starfish onto the shore. This person seeks out the living starfish and flings them back into the sea where they may survive. After contemplating the seeming futility of such an endeavor in the face of a problem so large, Isley recognizes the hope and defiance in taking such action. Isley finishes his tale by writing, "I looked back across my shoulder to see the star thrower stoop and fling once more. And then I never looked again. The task we had assumed was too immense for gazing. All about us roared the insatiable waters of death, but we, alone and small in that immensity, hurled back the living stars." I recently visited a natural treasure about an hour outside of Boston, Purgatory Chasm State Park. The park is on land cherished and traditionally protected by Nipmuc peoples, a tribe of now 600 living in Massachusetts. The half-mile-long chasm is a treacherous hike. A slow pace is needed to navigate the incredible scale and danger of the chasm, the stones, large and small, that jut beneath and loom above the hikers. Stone is often considered a symbol of patience and the slow and steady pace of change. Boulders worn by elements and gigantic canyons carved out by tiny streams. I am reassured by the long view perspective of time that is revealed in stone. The stones at Purgatory Chasm, though, offer a different meaning. This immense breach in the earth was created in an instant, a moment of immediate, dramatic, disruptive, violent change. Scientists now believe the chasm was formed by the sudden release of glacial meltwater 14,000 years ago. Change sometimes happens like that. Stone is sometimes shaped by sheer and urgent power in an instant. Right now, these days, that image of change is more resonant than the slow, steady force of a small stream carving a canyon, though both hold important truths. In his reflection on saving the starfish along the ocean shore, Lauren Isley writes, "All about us roared the insatiable waters of death." For me, this line brings to mind the creatures and plants and habitat lost in that dramatic moment of change 14,000 years ago at Purgatory Chasm. Water roaring from above, melted who knows how much earlier and working for who knows how long to find its escape, but forming the landscape in an instant. All about us roar the insatiable waters of death. Isley saw this from the perspective of the starfish's life and his own. We can see it in the indifference of a virus and the intimate violence of racism. We're at a rare time in history when so much is revealed by the rapid change and disruption of this moment. What's revealed isn't anything new. What's revealed is what too many of us manage not to see. Even as we've understood, as Dr. King reminded us, that what affects one affects all, many of us turn away. I believe not always because we don't care, but largely because we underestimate our power. And then often, those of us with various forms of privilege, we get comfortable, and our gaze remains fixed on those truths that soothe us. The shaking of so many foundations around us has forced us to see so vividly much more than many ordinarily see. Horrific inequity, systems designed precisely to maintain the castes among us, the complicity of silence and the seductive comfort of our perceived powerlessness. The seductive comfort of our perceived powerlessness. These times are urgently calling on us to remember and use our power. That's right, power. Did you know UUSC's mission includes an affirmation of the inherent power and dignity of all people? For Unitarian Universalists, so accustomed to repeating the beautiful words of our first principles, it's easy to read right over that small but significant difference. It's not denying inherent worth, that's implied, but the addition of power is significant. At UUSC, we affirm the inherent dignity and power of all people. The power of compassion that demands our hands and minds and hearts be engaged in fulfilling the promise of human dignity and worth. The power of faithful imagination, the refusal to give in to the cynicism and powerlessness that tyrants and empires depend upon to thrive. These times are urgently calling on us to remember and use our power. Can you see it? Your power, can you feel it? Sit up a little straighter, take a breath. Can you feel your power? Not always, right? I know that's true for me, especially these days. These days, I'm feeling pretty small, less able than ever to accomplish anything. The roar gets inside me and I feel alone. I feel so much fear and grief and powerlessness. Okay. Shake that off. I'm not going to ask you to deny those feelings, but I really hope we can all come to see something more. We've come here today because we know that religious community will hold us when we feel small and alone. Community will call us back to the power that we each carry, that we recognize in each other, that is called out from us in community. We show up, we are here together today because we believe that ministry, our shared ministry, will comfort us and confront us, will call us to our power. I invite you to call the name of someone who has reminded you of your dignity, your worth, and your power. And now call to mind memories of the power that has arisen from communities you are a part of, from this congregation. Prophetic witness in the larger community, calls for justice and healing, actions that were part of movements that brought about actual change. Friends, you have what you need to create a better world. We have what we need to enact courageous change. I am inspired when I see this in communities and congregations. I am also deeply inspired every day by the fierce power of the grassroots partners who are the heart of UUSC's mission. We believe and know from experience that partnering with communities most deeply impacted by injustice is the most faithful and the most effective way to contribute to a better world. This is what UUSC's Guest at Your Table program has been highlighting for decades, offering us the chance to learn more deeply the stories of four of our grassroots partners. These guests invite us each year into more profound solidarity with them and the communities they serve. Our partner, Axel Fuentes from the Rural Community Workers Alliance, or RCWA, is organizing food processing factory workers in the Midwestern United States, building coalitions through organizers that speak the language and know the culture of the workers they collaborate with. Together, they are tapping into their power to demand safer working conditions that honor everyone's dignity. Axel says, UUSC's support has been one of the most important pieces for RWCA to be able to survive and make progress as a grassroots organization in the fight for the rights of all people. Myra Dogipa is a member of the Karen ethnic minority and director of the US Campaign for Burma. She's drawing on her experience as someone targeted by the Burmese military junta as a child to bring attention to the crisis happening in Burma today. She advocates for Burmese ethnic minorities and pro-democracy demonstrators with a vision for a peaceful country that has achieved a true democratic state where the power lies with the people, not with the military, and a country that finally realizes that inclusivity makes us stronger. Our partner, Maina Talia, from KIO, Island Community Organization in the South Pacific, is working to make the communities of KIO Island resilient to the forces of climate change for the sake of future generations, and to serve as a refuge for those living on neighboring islands with even lower elevations. The island must provide agricultural support, moral support, and have climate-proof structures to ensure the continuity of our people, Maina says. Our vision is to build community resilience. UUSC is especially honored to be working with the KIO Community Organization as their first funder. Our last guest this year, Christian Guzman Merlot, is the co-director of UUSC partner Fundación Entre Mujeres, or FEM, organized by and for rural peasant women in Nicaragua. FEM is both a feminist farming collective and an advocacy network, linking 21 communities to bolster the economic, political, and social empowerment of women. The intersectional approach of FEM, seeing the connections between healing the land and healing the wounds of violence against women, offers a profound and necessary model of justice for the world. Christian shares that what FEM wants is a collective transformation in the communities of this country and all over the world. I am so grateful for what I learn every day about fierce power from UUSC's grassroots partners, such as Axel, Myra, Maina, and Christian. People who experience the intimate violence of oppression every day and still know their dignity and power. People who lead the way in enacting courageous change. These times are urgently calling us to remember and use our power. Friends, we have what we need to contribute to creating a better world. I want to thank those of you who are connected with the Unitarian Universalist Service Committee through our shared work for justice and with your financial support. UUSC is a member-supported organization that receives no funding from the UUA. We cannot do this work without you. I hope that today's service inspires every one of you to become part of UUSC's justice-loving, justice-seeking community. In closing, I'd like to invite the voices of some of my UUSC colleagues to share a little more about the work we are doing in collaboration with you, our UUSC supporters, and our grassroots partners around the world. Thank you for inviting a guest to your table and supporting this important work.
Thank you, John, for showing those. Obviously, we got them flipped, but I think it's just as powerful no matter which direction you get to hear it about this really powerful organization. Now we have time for discussion. Please raise your hand via your camera or digitally and to be called on, and then unmute yourself. Please remute yourself when you're done speaking. And both John and I will try to, and I suppose maybe Reverend Matt, try to look and see who has their hand raised. to switch views here. Mary Mullen, I see you.
Okay, I always talk a lot, but I really appreciated seeing people in their natural habitat, so to speak. You know, I could hear the birds singing, for example, and hear the waves washing. And I think that's much more, having a video is really effective to see the people where they live.
Yeah, it was fun to hear the waves going in the background there, Fiji. Other comments? Eileen.
One of the things that I've always appreciated about the UUSC is that they, by the nature of the way they are set up as an organization, where they are getting funding directly from us as members and not through UUA, and because they study carefully what's going on around the world, they can respond in a way that most NGOs cannot respond very directly and very quickly to things that come up around the world. And they can contribute directly to those organizations. They don't set up a separate hierarchy for people from UUSC to have to be on the ground. And so the money goes directly to organizations that they have very carefully evaluated in terms of need and leadership to be able to actually use those funds effectively.
Thank you. Other comments?
See Mary Summers.
Mary.
I'm not clear yet on how to get the box or how to, an easy way to donate.
Probably.
How to get the box and how to get it back and what's the timeline.
Okay, I don't have a lot of information except for the kids, but you can donate online at the UUSC website. So that's probably the easiest way. Mary Mullen.
I just wondered if we could do it like we have often done it, just write a check maybe to the UUSC or directly to Prairie with a note on it to donate. Then it can all be sent in at once. That's, to me, that's the easiest way.
Yeah, that certainly would be possible.
Thank you.
Other comments? Reverend Matt.
Just to plug that there is a button right on the homepage of the website if you want to donate that way, that you can do that directly right on the homepage of the website. I thought that was really cool when I learned that I could do that for the auction. So that's a cool tech thing, and thank you whoever set that up. It makes doing this kind of thing really easy.
So on Prairie's website.
Yep, and I'll also put the link to the UUSC. Org in the chat too, so people can go there directly.
Thank you for doing that. That's good information. Other comments? I'm not seeing any more hands. Are you, John? No. Okay. So for the kids, they'll get their boxes when they get their nifty gifty kits, which should be fun. Now Amber's going to play Will o' the Wisp by Gurlitt. Thank you. Wonderful. Thank you. The closing words are Choose to Bless the World by Rebecca Parker, read by Eileen Nettleton.
Your gifts, whatever you discover them to be, can be used to bless or curse the world. The mind's power, the strength of the hands, the reaches of the heart, the gift of speaking, listening, imagining, seeing, waiting. Any of these can serve to feed the hungry, bind up the wounds, welcome the stranger, praise what is sacred, or do the work of justice, or offer love. Any of these can draw down the prison door, hoard bread, abandon the poor, obscure what is holy, comply with injustice, or withhold love. You must answer this question: what will you do with your gifts? Choose to bless the world. The choice to bless the world is more than an act of will, a moving forward into the world with the intention of doing good. It is an act of recognition, a confession of surprise, a grateful acknowledgement that in the midst of a broken world, unspeakable beauty, grace, and mystery abide. There is an embrace of kindness that encompasses all life, even yours. And while there is injustice, anesthetization, or evil, there moves a holy disturbance, a benevolent rage, a revolutionary love, protesting, urging, insisting that which is sacred will not be defiled. Those who bless the world live their life as a gesture of thanks for this beauty and this rage. The choice to bless the world can take you into solitude to search for the sources of power and grace, native wisdom, healing, and liberation. More, the choice will draw you into community, the endeavor shared, the heritage passed on, the companionship of struggle, the importance of keeping faith, the life of ritual and praise, the comfort of human friendship, the company of earth, the chorus of life welcoming you. None of us alone can save the world. Together, that is another possibility, waiting.
Thank you, Eileen. The closing song is in the Singing the Living tradition, number 134, Our World is One World. The lyrics will be in the chat. And feel free to sing along at home.
Our world is one world. What touches one affects us all. The seas that wash us round about, the clouds that cover us, the rain that falls. Our world is one. Thoughts we think affect us all. The way we build our attitudes with love or hate, we make a bridge or wall. Our world is one world. Its ways of wealth affect us all. The ways we spend, the ways we share, who are the rich and poor, who stand or fall. Our world is one world, just like a ship that bears us all, where fear and greed make many holes, but where our hearts can hear a different call. This is all of our, all of our world.
that was fine. Thank you, Nancy, for hunting that up. Now we're going to stop the recording and we'll move into the joys and concerns and welcoming visitors.